creative destruction in consumer electronics is sometimes breathtaking. Consider the BlackBerry.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's like a top hat, essential for business executives in years gone by, but not anymore. The handheld phone with a physical keyboard that resembled the texture of a BlackBerry. Now the company is essentially collapsing into the arms of a buyer, Fairfax Financial Holdings of Toronto, for under $5 billion. Now, 5 years ago, the Canadian smartphone maker was valued at $83 billion, Marketplace's Queenie Kim reports.
We don't know the details of the offer, but there's one thing we do know. Fairfax already owns 10% of BlackBerry. Ted Shadler is an analyst at Forrester. He says with the stock tanking, Fairfax probably needed to act to get its money back.
Well, at some point, you look at what the company is worth and you say, can I get more money out of it by buying it and perhaps breaking it apart?
BlackBerry has a portfolio of patents that could fetch more than $1 billion. It has a great reputation for mobile security services, and Fairfax could spin that business out and sell it. And BlackBerry still has $2.6 billion of cash on hand. John Butler is an analyst at Bloomberg Industries. He says there might be another reason Fairfax is buying BlackBerry.
It buys them critical time to really get it right.
BlackBerry still has 70 million users around the world. It has the cash to rejigger its phone, and with a patient investor, it could make another go of it. In San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
After Chrysler's bankruptcy, the United Auto Workers Union ended up owning a large stake in the company. Chrysler's largest shareholder, Fiat of Italy, wants the union's stake, but they're arguing over money. Reps for the union have now filed papers to sell the union stake to the public in an initial public offering. Fiat is very unhappy about this. The Russian government is privatizing Kalashnikov, selling off its stake in the maker of the AK-47 rifle for about $40 million. Famil Ismailov is with the BBC's Russian service. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me about the Russian government's stake in the production of AK-47s. They own a chunk of the company?
Well, they do. And what they want to do, they want to consolidate not just the two plants. One of them produces the actual weapon, the other one produces ammunition, but also move the actual brand towards consolidation, because there have been so many Kalashnikovs everywhere. China makes them, Czech Republic makes them, lots of other countries make them from the licenses given by the Soviet Union. But there's no more Soviet Union around, and Russia wants to have Kalashnikov brand to itself.
It's always so odd. It's almost as if we're talking about Pepsi or Chrysler motor cars. We're talking about arms here. How significant is arms production to the Russian economy, would you say?
Well, I think it's a big chunk and very prospective. With the oil and Gazprom or Rosneft, any other big company, energy companies that Russian government is controlling, the luck is there out in the market. You know, the price goes up and down. But weapons are always needed. And Russia is, well, at least one of the top five producers and exporters of the munitions and weapons. And it tries to keep its share of the world market as big as possible or even increase it.
Famil Ismailov, BBC's Russian service, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Marketing would have you believe that happy cows come from California, but many dairy farmers and cheese producers are not in such a fine mood there. They're on each other's nerves over a decades-old pricing system, Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Hank Van Axel grew up on this large dairy farm his father started in Lodi, California. Beneath a cap that reads Swinging Udder's Veterinarian Services, his face wears an easy smile. Except when he talks about the recent fortunes of almost a fifth of the state's dairy farms.
Really, it was devastating to see how many of these people have lost everything that their parents had built up.
Van Axel leads me around his farm, where calves moo expectantly at feeding time. Van Axel says the state's decades-old pricing system has broken in recent years.
Our feeds jumped over 100%. And our milk is as low as it was in the 70s.
On top of that, state and federal milk pricing systems don't treat all milk equally. When California's pricing was created, 60% of its milk ended up in cartons. Now, drinking milk accounts for just 14%.
The cheese stands alone. The cheese stands alone.
Cheese is now the biggest slice of California's milk market. But under the historic pricing formula, milk used for cheese fetches the lowest price. And Rob Vandenhuvel with the Milk Producers Council says the gap between California's cheese milk price and the federal guideline has grown significantly.
At the end of the day, we're looking for how do we get a fair price to our dairy farmers.
Let us be able to value these products in the market.
Rachel Caldor is with the Dairy Institute of California. She says cheese processors agree pricing needs to change, but they now sell throughout the world and have to stay competitive.
We need that milk, and we will pay for that milk. And we will pay for it in a way that keeps that dairyman in business.
California has an economist working on different milk pricing options right now. Dairy farmer Van Axel says that can't happen soon enough. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And hippies loved it, so did campers. But the world's last new VW microbus is set to come off a Brazilian production line in December. New regulations there require airbags and anti-lock brakes, and VW says they're too expensive to retrofit. And we associate the VW bus with the counterculture, but if you think about it, it was really an early minivan. Now here, a brief pause as we respectfully recall its air-cooled engine at idle. Like some bourbons, rough but delightful. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.